Meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Mayor Sear?
Here. And if you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to do something a little out of order here that might drive our city clerk nuts, but that's okay because it's about her anyway. So, it's really hard to get a proclamation on the agenda without the city clerk finding out about it because she's the one that does the agenda, right? So, this is a little out of the ordinary, but I'm going to do a proclamation at this point. It is the 53rd annual Professional Municipal Clerks Week. And since I missed the previous 52, I thought we'd do this one. Whereas the Office of Professional Municipal Clerk and a time-honored and vital part of local government exists throughout the world, and whereas the Office of Professional Municipal Clerk is the oldest among public servants, and whereas the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk provides the professional link between citizens, the local governing bodies, and agencies of government at other levels, and whereas professional municipal clerks have pledged to be ever mindful of their neutrality and impartiality, rendering equal service to all, whereas the professional municipal clerk serves as the information center on the functions of local government and community, whereas professional municipal clerks continually strive to improve the administration of the affairs of the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk through participation in education programs, seminars, workshops, and the annual meetings of their state, provincial, county, and international professional organizations. Whereas it is most appropriate that we recognize the accomplishment of the Office of the Professional Municipal Clerk. Now, therefore, I, Joe Steer, Mayor of the City of CUNA, do hereby recognize the week of May 1st through May 7th, 2022 as Professional Municipal Clerks Week, and further extend appreciation to our municipal clerk, Chris Engels, and to all professional municipal clerks for the vital services they perform and their exemplary dedication to the communities they represent.
G-clap.
Okay, now we'll get back to the way I'm supposed to do things.
Get back in your lane.
Yeah, get back in my lane. Next item is the consent agenda. Is there any questions or comments or anything you want pulled for discussion?
Yep. All right. Well, seeing none, I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
And that motion carries. External reports. This is Crime Stoppers of Southwest Idaho request of $3,032.70 for programming and current initiatives. And you may have the floor if you would like. And we did fix the button, so green is on if you push right in the middle there.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Council. First, let me start. For the record, my name is Kenny Pittman. I live at 5252 West Braveheart in Eagle, Idaho. And I'll let Bree give her information.
I'm a lot taller than he is. I'm Bree Mason. I live at 11814 West Touch Rock Lane in CUNA. And I am also the president of the board of Crime Stoppers of Southwest Idaho. And we're here today to kind of give you guys an update of where we're at with the program. So if you're not familiar, we are the nonprofit behind 208-343 COPS. We give our citizens an opportunity to provide tips to law enforcement while remaining anonymous. If their tip leads to an arrest, they can receive a reward up to $1,000 through our program. In 2020, we received information from the city of Boise that they would no longer be providing a liaison to us, which is what's been basically running our program since the 80s. And so when that happened, we had to kind of reevaluate how we were going to receive funding to operate our program, thus taking us to each of the cities, creating a service agreement, and starting to come up with a per capita number based on the residents from the Compass demographics. With that, we started in Eagle. They came on, they were our first partnership. They provided us funding, and we came up with the number of 11 cents per capita, which is how we've gotten to the 3,032 based on the Compass demographics for CUNA. Our tips are collected on a county basis because the, I don't know the exact wording, but how you guys contract with the county. But the number that we've come up with for the share of CUNA is based on just CUNA city residents. It is not encompassing outside of CUNA city. With that being said, we do have contracts signed with Caldwell, Nampa, Canyon County, Meridian, Ada County, and Eagle. Yes, and then you guys are the next is where we're at. Requesting you guys continue to support our program. We've met with Chief Fortusco and really appreciate your guys' support of the program. We feel that we are a vital tool to law enforcement, providing them with as much information as they can before walking into a situation. Just for clarification on funds, all funds we receive from the city is for administration purposes only. I mentioned paying out rewards. All that funding is received by city, or I'm sorry, by private and corporate donations. We have corporate sponsors, we have private donors. No city funds are ever used to pay out rewards. That money doesn't go back out. It is all strictly for administrative costs. So do you have anything else you want to say?
I would just give them maybe a breakdown.
Oh, yeah. So I have our budget here. So we do, we are running, we are looking to hire a administrative personnel. We are run right now by a full volunteer board. We all have full-time jobs and trying to keep the program alive. So we have increased our budget. We're around $78,000 is our annual budget, and that would include us getting us somebody that can help run the program, as well as it includes all of our software. We have a website that you can submit tips. We have an app that you can submit tips. And we also have a 24/7 call center out of Texas that allows tipsters to remain anonymous. It also includes any other administrative costs that we may have. And I have a full breakdown that I would be happy to share if you guys need that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like I mentioned, we have the service agreements. It is a full contract that we've come up with a date, a range. We know that, you know, you're discussing your 23 budgets. So this would be for fiscal year 23 would be our ask. And we would come up with, we have an agreement in place that we would execute that would show the amount and the services we provide, which would include our 24/7 call center, a liaison between Crime Stoppers and law enforcement. We will give five signs. We have these signs that we've been, five of them that will go to the city. You can hang them wherever you would like, has the QR code. They can immediately provide a tip to law enforcement. And we also will be offering up two community events. So if there's anything that you're wanting Crime Stoppers to be at to help get word out into the community of who we are, what we do, we would attend two of those as well. So if you guys, do you have any questions?
Okay, questions?
I actually have one.
Yes.
Do you actually, I understand the cop portion. Do you also visit the fire districts and ask for their support because of arson?
Yeah, we, at this point, we have not. We are strictly working with just law enforcement agencies. The tips that we receive would then go to, we have a single point of contact at each agency. We provide the tip to them, and then it would be handled however law enforcement felt was best to handle it. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah,
if I could. You mentioned an annual budget, roughly about $78,000. Do you have any statistics on the success of the program or anything for the county?
Yeah. So like I said, because of the way that you guys are contracted with Ada County for law enforcement, all of our tips are submitted to Ada County. We copy the chief on them, but they're submitted to Ada County. So it's kind of hard to pull because it's the same way for Star and Eagle. So it's kind of hard to pull specifically to CUNA, but I can, you know, I can pull the, we can pull that and see if we can break it down a little bit better.
I just, if you had it at your disposal, I was just
okay.
More curious
yeah.
To kind of see how it was going. But
yeah. So on average, okay. I would say, you know, we receive between 5 and 10 tips a day just as a program. A majority of those are going to be Ada County. I feel like off the top of my head, I think we received 3 or 4 tips for CUNA specifically in April alone, just for off the top of my head.
If I may, is there any kind of community, like, I wouldn't say outreach, but just explaining to them how it works, what they do, or
yeah. So some of that we are. That's, you know, part of our initiative too, is really trying to get into the communities, let them know who we are.
To educate them.
I'm sorry, say that
to
again.
To educate them.
Yeah, to educate and let them know. You know, a lot of people are moving here; they aren't familiar with the program. But the Crime Stoppers are all over the country as well. So, but that's what I was mentioning. You know, events we'll have the signs, and then if there's any events that you guys, you know, want us to come set up a tent and hand out pamphlets and talk about who we are and what we do and how we can continue to keep our streets safe, that we're
thank you
willing to do that.
If I can, Mayor, Council, a couple of the things that maybe you have questions about events that we're scheduling, I'll give you an example of what we're doing for Eagle this year. Eagle's been on board for the past 2 years, and last year and this year we're providing an educational program through their Eagle Saturday Market. We have a vending booth at their market, and we set up our trailer with our information and our flyers, and we touch bases with the community at that type of event, explain the program, talk to kids, talk to folks and individuals in the community, let them know how the program works and that they can remain anonymous. It's the only program available to residents that where they can remain anonymous if they don't want some kind of recourse action taken against them. Because if they call the local police departments, they must give their name and their contact information. And this way, they remain specifically anonymous, but the tips are still brought in to the specific areas that it needs to go to and distributed through the community. The other event that we do at Eagle is Eagle Family Fun Night, right before the Eagle Fun Days. That's another one. We set up the booth and our trailer. You know, we have balloons for the kids. We bring over as many people as we can just to kind of explain to them what's happening. We used to have the liaison from the Boise City Police Department that used to go into the schools and speak with the schools, but since COVID, we haven't had the opportunity to go into the schools to speak to students, things like that. So our basic outreach right now is all outside events that are now opened up to the public. So that's what we're trying to create. In Caldwell, we have an event there scheduled in May. We're doing a real small shred event for them so that their local citizens can come and shred documents in May. So we're taking steps to try to get to each community at least you know, once a month somewhere so that we can provide the information we need to distribute to the community.
Oh, very good. Well, and then, so discussions I've had with the chief were that CUNA does get some help with some of these things. They have been helpful in solving some crime, and we know that it's very expensive to have police detectives. So any time that a tip like that comes in and cuts down on the number of hours that a detective has to spend working a case is quite beneficial and reduces that workload so they can do other things. So I saw it as a big benefit, and I think it's I think it'd be a good thing for us to be involved with if you feel the same.
I think so.
Yeah. I think it's easy to say $3,000 is a small task for a potential life-saving tip. So.
Well, especially with the workload of the detectives that they already have.
Yep. Well, we do have it on here as an action item. Is this something we need to move to approve for fiscal year 23 ahead now, or just say, let's write that into the budget and then approve?
No. Good, okay. Then he can add it in the budget.
Then he can add it in the budget. Well, I do move we approve the request for $3,032.70 for Crime Stoppers of Southwest Idaho.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. And just real quick, we'd like to thank the city of CUNA for working with Crime Stoppers. This won't be the only time you see us. You'll probably see us every annual budgeted year. We'll bring you more stats at that time so that we can share with you what's happened throughout the past year because this is going to be an ongoing process that we're going to try to keep the partnerships. We'll also send you an agreement. I don't know if the chief had received a copy of the an agreement that we put together with some other cities, and you can have your attorney and staff look through that, make the adjustments how you want it, and then we'll send it over for signature.
Okay, good. Yeah, and if we can route things through the clerk's office so
yes,
that everything
sir.
Gets the right direction would be good.
And, yes, sir.
And also the chief, you'll have his email. But that would be good, and then we'll probably have some ideas for you of how to get with the public.
Yeah, yeah. Any information you can give us on when you're having a special event that we could set up a booth or at a farmer's market or some kind of a parade or something where we can be visible, we would love to make that happen.
Perfect.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Public hearing. We have one case number, 21-19-AN. It's an annexation. CUNA Lutheran Church. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. The application before the evening is for the annexation of approximately 5.01 acres located near the northeast corner of North Linder Road and East Porter Street. The applicant is proposing a C1 neighborhood commercial zone in accordance with the comprehensive plan and future land use map. The applicant receives special use permit approval to operate a church from the Planning and Zoning Commission on March 22, 2022. There is no development associated directly with this application. The applicant will be required to return for design review approval for buildings, parking lot, and landscaping. Following review, staff has determined the request is within technical compliance of Idaho State Code and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan to request annexation. If the council approves the annexation, staff would recommend that the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section 10 of your staff memo, as well as any other additional conditions this decision-making body decides to impose. I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug. And did we have the applicant here wishing to testify? Okay. Did you have a question?
I'm just clarifying. There's no plan to develop or build anything on this right now?
So there may be a plan forthcoming in the future, but with this current application, it's purely for the annexation.
Yes, my name is Richard Gerard, and I live at 675 North Ramey Creek in Star, Idaho, and I am a member of CUNA Lutheran and here to give a presentation to you on our annexation. Yes, we're a small church. We're just getting started, a couple years here in CUNA, and we're trying to grow. and we're hoping that we can put a building on the site. Right now, we're probably 60 to 80 people attending worship. And so, as I say, we're pretty small. What we do have a little bit of a plan is that we have purchased a church building that can be moved onto the site. We're looking at what we need to do for that. And that, our proposed site plan is basically roughly an acre, maybe an acre and a quarter total of the 5 acres. I don't have a big drawing, but if I may, in the corner here is our kind of our site plan, what we're proposing, we'll probably do. And as you can see, we're only utilizing a small piece of that. The idea is that as the church grows, we can eventually, in like 10 years or so, build more, keep that building as like an education building, and then move to a build a larger church on the rest of it. But our current plan is if we can put the smaller building in there now, we will look like we would plan on putting the rest of the land into irrigated lawn that can be used for soccer fields and things like that. And we are right across the street from the school, and the Baptist Church and us, our property, butt up against each other.
Okay, good.
Can I answer any other questions for you?
Yes, questions?
Sir. Sure.
Yes.
So I understand whatever buildings you're going to develop on this 5 acres is going to be church-oriented.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, strictly.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Quick question. Is that parcel land, is that right there, Linder and Porter currently reside, like, does that have a current residential home on it, or is that
open? No, it's good. It's completely vacant land.
Okay.
We purchased the land from the Catholic Church, and it had been being used for farming. Actually, when we bought the land, there was a cornfield on it.
Okay. Anything further? All right. Thank you very much. All right, this is a public hearing, and I only had one person sign up to testify. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay. Dave Reinhart, CUNA School District.
I just got used to the way the microphone was now. I'm switching my brain. Mayor Steer, members of council, my name is David Reinhart. CUNA School District, 711 East Porter Street, CUNA, Idaho. I wanted to say that CUNA Lutheran Church has been tremendous partners. They've rented space from us for a couple of years. They painted the 4th Street Gym. They're just tremendous partners, and we look forward to, if you approve, them being good neighbors to us for a long time across from Hubbard Elementary.
Okay, thank you. Once again, was there anybody else who wishes to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in? Okay, seeing none.
All right. Well, I move we close public hearing, evidence presentation, and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
Let's start, if I could.
Yeah.
Now, you look at what this parcel of land is and where it is and, you know, what the future holds for it. 5.1 acres, you know, this is a situation. I see no reason to allow this to move forward. I think it's a good addition to that area over there, and partnership with the school district that Dave spoke to, I think, is always a big thing. So, yeah.
Dan, churches is on Sunday, so that won't be in the way of the schools.
Right.
That's a good thing for traffic-wise. So,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, my only thought was if it was ever sold, would they be able to put something different than a church there? Without our, it still have to come to us for approval, right?
Doug?
If the property were to be approved and zoned C1, someone could put a neighborhood commercial use there, but they would still be required to come forward with design review approval.
I was just thinking if it was ever sold and then a gas station ended up there.
A gas station, anything like that, would require special use permit approval, so they would actually have to come forward through public hearing through the Planning and Zoning Commission. But yes, neighborhood commercial use could be put there if the church were to ever sell the property and it were entitled.
Okay.
Like I said, you can't have no churches, but I think it's not just a church. It's all the family programs that come with the individual churches for the families, the kids that I like.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to make sure we could have a process down the road that we could review it.
Yeah, that's why I clarified. Is it going to be church?
Yeah. I have nothing else.
Okay.
Well, then, I move we approve case number 21-19-AN for CUNA Lutheran Church.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded, and did that include with the recommendations from staff?
All the recommendations on conditions of approval that were put in staff notes.
Okay. And second still stand?
Correct.
All right. Motion is made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Finance presentation, Jared Empey.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Jared Empey, City Treasurer. So as on a quarterly basis, I come before you just to discuss the city's finances and also the broader economic outlook that we're looking at. So on page 164 of your packet, you'll see the combined cash statement where I have broken out how much cash the city has under management. As of the end of March, we had 53.6 million dollars under management. With $20 million in CDs with ICCU, about $24 million in the LGIP, and then others in various operating accounts. Then, as you can see, how it's split out by fund. So as you can see that some high points are that we have $13 million in the water fund, $10.7 in the sewer fund, and $7 million in the irrigation fund. All of those are positive numbers that we've seen historically, especially in the sewer fund, where historically it had been around $3 million. So that's a dramatic increase in fund balance over the last really 3 years or so. So that's really good news. Obviously, with inflation, that's a concern that what you have brought in may not have the same buying power that it did a few years ago. However, we'll still take the additional increase. Then the next page, you can see just a basic income statement by fund. This is on a cash basis so far as of the end of March. As you can see, every fund is positive on a cash basis except for the general fund and the police impact fund. The general fund so far this year is negative simply because we haven't received all of the property tax monies for the year, in addition to the fact that we, at the beginning of the year, transfer money to the capital projects fund for different building projects. And then police impact fund, the reason that's negative is because the $199,000 in expense was for the purchase of the Nelson property for the police station. So essentially that's the reason for that. However, by the end of the fiscal year, I would say that it's safe to assume that all funds will be cash positive due to continued operating surpluses within the proprietary funds. In addition to the fact that in the general fund, we should be receiving building permits related to East CUNA activity, which will be fairly large, in addition to other payments that are tied to those agreements. And so, like I say, essentially all of these funds should be cash positive for the year as of the end of September. And you should see that building permit activity come in late August, early September. So that will be reflected on our quarter four report. Then, as you can see, if you dig in a little bit further on the next pages, you can see exactly what makes up the income statement activity. For the most part, revenue's looking good in the general fund. Expenses overall are looking good. The only items that have been affected so far this year have been decreased building permit activity. As of the time that I made this report, it was about 12% under where we were last year. I think a lot of that has to do with broader economic events that are ongoing. And however, like I said, as of the end of this fiscal year, a lot of those trends will flip and flip dramatically based on the building permits that are pending that are based in East CUNA. That said, I think this speaks a lot to, like I said, a lot of this speaks a lot to broader economic activity. I think that as we continue to look forward, because obviously this is past activity, but I think what we need to be focused on is future activity as much as possible so that we can plan effectively. And as we could see in the news lately, we saw that GDP was down for Q1 by 1.4%, whereas they expected a 1.0% gain. So that's a significant drop off. We've seen that consumer spending has dropped off as well. A lot of that has to do with, I think, the end of stimulus projects that were undertaken in 2020 and 2021. And so I think that next fiscal year we'll probably see a reduction in our sales tax revenue sharing, which I mean, it's hard to say how much that will be, but I think that we should be conservative in that. And I think another thing that we should be looking forward to in fiscal 23, which we'll go into in much greater detail in our budget workshops, is taking a look at how much building permit revenue may be affected. One thing that we've seen is that it looks like the Federal Reserve is anticipating increasing rates by a significant margin. So I think that we need to be expecting that our building permit revenue may decline in certain aspects. So I think with that, I'll leave it for any questions if you have any.
Okay. Questions for Jared?
No, I think he said it all.
Makes it easy to understand. Thank you.
Yeah, Jared does a great job in looking forward. Helps us all to see where we ought to be going and where we're at.
And with the increase of the Fed rate, I think you'll see the permits slow too, so that's good. He's at least paying attention to that too. It's good stuff. Thank you.
He pays attention to all things money. All right. Review of current grant activity. Chris Ingalls.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. In your packet, I provided a memo. I also provided a spreadsheet. These are pending applications that we are working on currently. Final group will go in actually tomorrow. the spreadsheet kind of breaks it out, what we're looking at for these applications that will look for expending funds in 23, 24, 25, and 26. In my budget, you'll see that I've requested funding for grant matches, typically on federal funding. It's 7.34%. On those applications that are on Ada County Highway District roads, we will be requesting consideration from the Ada County Highway District Commission or Board, I'm not sure what they're called, to pay that match. And so actually Doug works with them, and we've started those conversations that we'll go and ask them to pay the 7.34%. Some of these projects, the city has expended funds on engineering. I've been before you a couple times on that. So far this year, we have submitted applications for $16 million in projects. We have $14,500,000 that potentially will come to the city in funding for construction. And overall match would be $1.4 million. A large chunk of that would be from ARPA funds if we're successful with the RV dump. There is some city funds that I would look for in 2023 in the budget, but then about $111,000. We'll be looking for $111,000 for consideration from ACHD and matches on these projects as well. I stand for any questions. And as far as the rest of this year, transportation funding, there'll be some pockets of it coming up, but now we'll roll over into more of foundation, CDBG, different aspects of funding. Well, you know, just pockets of specialized areas. So I stand for any questions.
Questions.
No, this is great. Thank you.
The clerk's office has been very busy putting together these grants. They're very complicated to do, and if you don't do them right, you don't get them. And as we've seen in the past, we do receive grants. So, again, with the proclamation.
Thank you.
But that's exactly it. Without all that hard work, and then there's a lot of staff support, too, from Morgan and Doug and Jared and everybody's team. So a lot of work goes into those, and the payoff is huge. So,
and even if we don't succeed at first try, we try again and again. And so the sidewalk going in on Avenue B right now, that was a third swing, but we managed to get it. So we do continue to submit.
Chris is persistent. All right, very good. Thank you very much. Next is consideration to approve $50,000 from the general fund contingency for the CUNA Rodeo Committee for a Labor Day weekend rodeo. Chris Ingalls.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. First off, Council, I'd like to introduce the Kitkas. That's Cody and Lenny. They are both on the committee. Cody is our chair. And they also own the Crooked Eight, which is where the proposed rodeo will be. It's out there on King Road, this side of Strobel. All right. And, of course, Cody or Lenny would be happy to answer any questions tonight. What we're requesting is consideration to approve $50,000 to seed the rodeo. That gets pretty detailed, and Cody, jump up at any point, but it covers animals. We don't purchase the animals, but we have to deal with the right people to bring those animals in. It's everything from prize money to facilities to gates for the arena. It's really more complicated than I ever knew. We met, Lenny and I and Carrie from the chamber met on Friday to kind of go over what the sponsorship packages would look like, revenue from tickets, revenue from vendors, participation, just all those aspects. We hope it's a first-year rodeo, so, of course, it takes time to really grow those things, but I do believe we're going to come very close to balancing out with the seed money. and then be able to carry forward, and I think it has the potential to be self-supporting within probably a short period of time. Cody, do you want to come give an idea of what the money actually uses for? I don't think I gave a deep enough discussion on that.
Mayor Steer, Council, thank you for your time.
Tap the button. Go, Green. There you go.
Mayor Steer, Council, thank you for your time. My name's Cody Kitka. Live at 1882 East King Road, which is right between Strobel and Meridian Road on the south side of the tracks. My wife, Lenny, we met with Chris last fall and had kind of stumbled across this, and I know this has been motivation for CUNA to try to find some more public activities. We have the land. I rodeoed for 22 years, so I have pretty good knowledge within that. We already have an arena, private arena, no doubt, but as far as the money to put that together, you're basically renting from the stock contractors that would provide all of the roping stock, bucking stock, any equipment that we don't come up with. I know Lenny and I, you know, we've got a pretty good start to build from. Our thing isn't to necessarily get rich by any means. We just want to cover our costs and try to help the community. I know, won't go into that, but the city of CUNA has been very good to my wife and I to allow us. We bought that place in 2011 and have been slowly trying to build it back together and be a pillar of the community. So anything we can do to help, as long as we can cover our costs, that's really all we're after. So, but again, it does take a lot to put into there to get it together. Again, a lot of the a lot of the major assets were coming together out of our pocket to put all that together in terms of grandstands. Who would have thought? One of the most expensive and limiting factors to put together, $100,000 for bleachers that'll hold 600 people. So we're gathering up dirt. We're starting to put a berm in. I don't know if you guys drive by there, but anybody knows of any extra fill dirt from some of these contractors, send them our way. But we're going to build a big berm that people can sit on, a grassy berm to watch the rodeo and all of that. So I think the $50,000 will go a long ways, and I really do feel, just based on what we're hearing from the community, we'll get it back. So it'd be a good activity. Any questions I can answer?
Questions, yes.
At your facility that you have, is there going to be enough for parking?
Yep. So we have about 25 acres, and about five of it consumes the arena and our current residence, which is off to the side. So we'll have about 20 acres of parking. And should we need any extra outside parking, there are a couple other areas of land that we could use to use that.
But not on Strobel.
What's that?
But not on Strobel.
No, not on Strobel. Correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
Anything further? Well, Cody, thank you. I know that you and your wife have done a lot for our community over the years, and I appreciate you seeing up there. The rodeo is something we've been trying to put together for years, and it's just, there's always limiting factors. Like you say, it just costs a lot of money to do it, so thank you for providing us this opportunity, and I know this is another thing Chris has worked very hard at, and Bobby's worked at it for a long time, and hopefully we can make it happen here. So
we're going to make it happen. Yeah.
There you go.
I actually got to meet some of the PBR riders at doing the radio thing last Friday or the Friday before last when they were here, the PBR. Mm-hmm. They're serious men. I mean, it's pretty impressive what they do, so I think it would be exciting.
Are you going to get some chaps and a hat and hop on?
If I was thinking about it. I just didn't know if I could put it out there like that. Yeah. You can't unsee that picture, right?
You'd be a burl buster.
You can't unsee that.
All right. Anything further?
No, I just, real exciting concept. The bigger the city gets, and more things exactly like that we need to keep it the city that we love. So I think it's
from the people I've talked to, they've been pretty excited about it, that it's even an idea.
Well, by next year, it'll be bigger than the Snake River Stampede, so.
Look out.
Yeah, hopefully you have some stuff going on for the kids during the daytime that they can participate, because that's where the roots start.
Yes, sir. Yep.
John, I'd like to bring Lenny up just a little bit. When we met last week, she talked about some youth programs that are going to be occurring for special needs kids, the mutton busting and stuff like that. So I kind of give her an opportunity to talk about those youth programs. And I think the Queens are youth also.
Yeah, well, the idea, hi, Mayor, hi, City Council, thank you for having us. So we just bounced a lot of ideas, but one thing that I thought was really special, because we're going to encumber a Friday night and then a Saturday morning, all day Saturday and into Saturday night, would be to bring kids from the community, like Chris had talked about, foster kids, and I wanted to do a morning special needs rodeo. So not necessarily kids getting on stock, but being able to have roping activities, riding on the barrels, and win little prizes, and reach out to, like, the Miss Amazing, some of the Special Olympics needs, Special Olympics kids, and have them bring them out and then just perform their own little rodeo for them. And then we talked about having the Queens come and volunteers from the community to help, of course, but really cheer them on, make them feel very special and a part of the rodeo. So we talked about that. We talked about the Queens doing work around the rodeo for the whole day, getting some kids areas, you know, something to keep people there all day, having the food, having the vendors, and really just having different programs from the community feel welcome and able to come out and enjoy all the festivities before the main rodeo. So mutton busting, which would, you know, they would pay like a $20 entry fee for their kids to do mutton busting just pre-rodeo. We've reached out to the Stampeders, the ACOPA group. Everybody wants to volunteer. The high school rodeo, our daughter's the president of CUNA High School Rodeo Club. They want to volunteer and come out for the day and just make it all happen. So we're thinking about a petting zoo, you know, with goats or lambs or, you know, something similar to like what Linder Farms had done in the past, or now the Farmstead, something more of a community feel for children in the morning, and then of course the rodeo in the evening. So that's what we're bouncing off of, ideas.
Perfect, thank you.
Yeah. Any questions? No, ma'am. Oh, good, because I don't know if I can answer them. There's so many things going through our heads.
Looks like a lot to make happen in 4 months.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right.
All right. Well, if there's no further discussion on that, I do move we approve $50,000 from the general fund contingency for the CUNA Rodeo Committee.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Do we have any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great.
Consideration to reallocate firework funds to Labor Day weekend from Independence Day for public display at the end of the rodeo. Chris Ingalls.
Well, getting fireworks for the 4th of July has been a challenge. So you had allocated funding for the fireworks on the 4th of July, but unfortunately, I've lost track of how many people we've worked, talked to. The contract that I thought we had set, it was contingent on Boise and another one because they had to come out of Oregon. And so with that being said, we're not going to be able to do the fireworks display on the 4th of July. So ask for consideration from council to move that at the end of the rodeo, do a public display. So not just the rodeo goers, but let everybody know there'll be a public fireworks display, and to do it at that time, say goodbye to summer, hello to fall, and yay, CUNA has a rodeo. So I stand for any questions and your consideration.
Okay.
How the animal's going to react to the fireworks.
They're used to it.
Oh, okay.
How will you react to the fireworks? That could vary, right?
At the rodeo, he'll be used to it.
Well, I think, you know, with Independence Day out of the question, and I know the city loves their fireworks shows, there's no reason not to just reallocate these funds for something just as exciting, so.
Rodeo all day, fireworks at night.
There you go.
I'm down.
Okay, well, action item, I move we reallocate firework funds to the Labor Day fireworks show.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Resolution R29-2022, appointing impact fee committee members. Chris Ingalls.
I'm not sure if you guys remember or not, but state legislation changed it so that we kind of had to have a different dynamic on our impact fee committees, which included they had to be city residents. Two of them had to be involved in a building trade. And so with that being said, these are the impact fee appointees that will represent fire, police, and parks. And they will actually meet, if you approve tonight, their appointment. They will be meeting for the first time tomorrow evening to begin the process of the new CIPs and fees for parks and for police. That will take another meeting 2 weeks after that. And they, you know, we're just thrilled that they agreed to sit in and give thoughtful consideration to it.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on this?
It's nice seeing that three of the five already have that experience and are willing to come back and assist further, so thank you to them. But
will they report to you?
Councilmember Laraway, I will facilitate it, the meetings. I'll do what I do as far as that goes. We'll clerk through on that. The actual administrator, and we'll have resolutions coming up forward with those, is actually going to be Jared, so he's going to babysit the money. And then I will coordinate, the studies and the resolutions and the impact fee committee and all that kind of stuff. I'll coordinate that in. So
I just wondered how big your plate is.
You know, I got a great staff. We have great teamwork. Yeah. And, you know, Mayor, you know, is always good if I need to move something. You know, he works with me on that. So I feel okay. If I got overwhelmed, I definitely let you know.
Thank you.
There's nothing else. I move we approve Resolution R29-2022 and appointing Impact Fee Committee members.
Second.
There's a motion and a second for approval. Is there any further discussion? Mm-hmm. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. next item is consideration to approve ordinance 2022-15. This is a municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the City Council of the City of Cuna, making certain findings and declarations of authority and annexing certain real properties, to wit, Ada County Assessor's parcel numbers S141812340 and S141812-3496, owned by Heartland Townhomes Property Management, LLC, and numbers S141842-7800 and S141814-2350, owned by JRL Properties, LLC, and number S141812-3490, owned by 207 LLC, within the unincorporated area of Ada County and contiguous to the corporate limits of the City of Cuna, into the City of Cuna, and establishing the zoning classifications of said real properties and directing the city engineer and city clerk and providing an effective date. And this is just taking action on a previously approved subject, so I don't think we need to do all three readings.
Agree. Pretty standard, so I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2022-15.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2022-15. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries.
All right. I move we approve ordinance 2022-15.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve ordinance 2022-15. Is any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
And that motion carries. And that is all we had on the agenda for tonight. Is there anybody who has any announcements or anything you want to mention here tonight before we adjourn?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
Just to be advised, ACH, I got a thing from ACHD, and they're going to start chip sealing the area, all of the roads. So the trucks will be coming. Maybe they can fix Hubbard.
Please. Oh, no. Not if it needs fixed. Well, and as soon as I pulled that out of my mailbox, I spotted one that I know by end of summer they're going to cut across the road to put a pipe in. So Doug and Morgan are going to be working with ACHD to see if we can maybe
do that first.
Head that off before they chip seal and not have to.
We have to have one bump in the road.
We got to have a bump in the road, and we don't want to wait for another 6 years before we cover it. So. Hopefully we can make that all happen. ACHD has been pretty good to work with on that kind of thing. So. Plus, they don't like us cutting through their new chip seal, so hopefully we can make that work. So anything else?
Yeah, am I mistaken in that the primaries are 2 weeks from today as well, and so we're not going to hold council meeting the night of elections, correct?
That would be general election, Wednesday. Right? So, yeah, we would be the night after. It would be a Wednesday night. Is that correct? I think that's why we wrote that ordinance.
Yes.
Hesitation in her voice.
It seems it's been on the following night. I'm thinking it's
Wednesday. I think it is. So. I was trying to remember if it did include the primaries.
The primaries?
I don't remember what our ordinance says as far as primaries goes.
I thought it was just the general election.
That's what I'm saying.
In November. I didn't think it was. I'll confirm.
Okay. Sorry.
Because I thought it was just the general election in November.
Just general?
Yeah.
We were doing so good, and then you confused us all.
It's leaving a question mark, huh?
Chris, when is the early voting booth? How often is it here?
Just today.
Oh, just today?
Mm-hmm.
And the 12th, right? Is it coming back?
I believe the 12th is coming back.
Okay.
Yep. And then just, I know there have been some people concerned about the ballot box that sits out in the parking lot. We have video footage on that, and Ada County has requested 60 days of video footage on that box so they can ensure that no tampering is going on and that type of thing. So it's a good way to make sure we have a secure election in our county, and I appreciate them. I don't know if Bobby appreciates having to dig it out, but we appreciate them watching that closely. So anything further? Anything from staff? Well, good. Get two more minutes. All right. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you
very much. Chief, how's the fire business?